Hi, this is Charles at democraticfundamentalism.org. It's Monday, the 28th of October. This is the News in Review. Well, it is Monday, and I definitely see a pattern developing. Monday apparently is the day for, well, what you'd call my little rants of hypothetical upon hypothetical. At least that's what Don Rumsfeld calls them. I always remember how touched I felt the day he was concerned about my morale. Really, it was great. It was fun back in the old days. Before I really get started tonight, there are a few people in Moscow, believe it or not, who listen to this broadcast. I want to express to them, and hopefully they'll pass along my sympathies to the families of the victims, as well as the survivors of the theater siege that occurred in Moscow. That includes a U.S. citizen named Sandy Booker. She's from Oklahoma City. My hearts go out to you all. Going to start right off today with a Bushism of all Bushisms. I think I've figured out a pretty good way to exemplify the way Bush and company veil their actions. You should find that pretty interesting. Ari joins in on the chorus of this one. I was hoping John would join in on the keyboards, but I heard he wasn't available today. It's a great feeling, though, to expose deceit and corruption on what I believe is the 116th anniversary of the Statue of Liberty, a gift from France, you might remember. Looks like Walter Fritz Mondale, Jimmy Carter's vice president and all-around citizen advocate, might step in to replace Senator Paul Wellstone in the elections. Good choice, in my opinion. The phrase user fee has finally officially worked its way into the American vocabulary. Bush said he'd bring in the IMF to assist the U.S. economy. Put it all together and you'll understand why the Federal Reserve Board says that reducing interest rates, their only real economic tool, would likely not help the ailing U.S. economy. Like I always say, where the IMF goes, bankruptcy follows. On purpose. Crime has risen in the United States 2.1% in all, the first rise in crime since 1991. Is there a reason? You bet. And finally, I feel a great deal of comfort in giving a plug to a book based on the scientific mathematical probabilities of synchronicity, a subject that has amused and confused me, if not plagued me, a great deal in the past few months. It's going to be an interesting one. Of course, to all those linking in from other sites, democraticfundamentalism.org includes a great number of links to news sources, and the ones that talk about in this report are located by following the links on the front of democraticfundamentalism.org by going to the latest news and review. I can make up fun of that name because it's my website, and I made up the name. And I agree, it's kind of funny. Makes you think, though, doesn't it? All right, here's the Bushism for the day. It's my favorite way to kick things off, really. It went like this. Iraq is making a fool of the United Nations. All right, here goes. First of all, Iraq wasn't making aggressive moves toward anyone or anything until Bush began prodding them with excessive missions and incursions into the no-fly zone. Iraq had done nothing when Bush made the aggressive saber-rattling speech about the axis of evil. Bush started the aggression and continues to pursue it, not Iraq. So when Bush says Iraq is making a fool of the United Nations, let's take a closer look. So far, I haven't heard a single report of Iraq criticizing the United Nations. And about the only true demeaning thing they've done that I thought was hilarious, actually, was when they challenged George Bush and Dick Cheney to a duel. I still crack up at that one. Nonetheless, it's Bush who keeps making the UN out to be a fool. We hear him criticize the UN. He says they have to prove their relevance, calls them weak, everything he can to diminish the United Nations' image and standing in the world. One of the oldest political propaganda ploys in the business, affect public opinion to force people to vote your way. Sort of the ultimate extortion. And now the mantra is, if the UN doesn't have the courage to disarm Iraq, the U.S. itself would lead a coalition to do so. And the United Nations has had enough time. Well, since when has the United States had the right to tell the United Nations what to do? I mean, in theory, they never have. I know that it doesn't quite work out that way, but when did they get that right? And if Bush is so set on attacking Iraq, why does he bother with the UN? Well, first, Bush would rather not have to deal with the UN. But we successfully caused him to seek some kind of credibility for his stance on Iraq. So he turned the story around and claimed that if the UN won't do its job to enforce the bans and embargoes on Iraq, the US would. I can only ask, why didn't he just move through the process of submitting his complaint to the United Nations and offer to provide enforcement? Why? Because he had to cause a confrontation where one didn't exist. That's the way to use psychological warfare. Create a confrontation, set up the situation with a good guy and a bad guy, even if the bad guy doesn't really exist. Focus the public's attention on hating the bad guy, and when the public is just about ready to accept it or reject it, go to war. It's straight out of Hitler's playbook. Really, it is. How to prepare citizens to go to war. This is the same thing the Bush guys do to Democrats in public statements. They say things that are simply not true and release that info through the Republican-owned press and media outlets and put the Democrats in the position of having to defend themselves against lies and half-truths. Now, let's talk about congressional legislation. Ever notice how all the bills the Republicans want always start in the House of Representatives? And when the legislation goes to the Senate, always at key moments in world events, mind you, all you hear is how the Democrats are obstructing passage of laws. Bush's agenda. Well, there's a reason. The laws Bush wants most, like Homeland Defense and that good old Patriot Act they love to amend so much, well, they want laws that violate the letter and intent of the Constitution. They want budgets for things we can't afford to pay for, and then claim in the press that the actions of the Democrats threaten the security of our homeland. And that's how the propaganda game works. It's like the tattletale at school who runs to the teacher first because they know that whoever's story gets told first becomes the truth to be proven or disproven. The baseline. The Republican way. Of course, I like the way John McCain puts it best. He says, certain Republicans. I bet you think I'm done with the Bush and Company stuff, don't you? I wish. One of the things that happens when the economy is bad and a president is constantly finding ways to frustrate people, cause division, and blow the winds of war, is that people become angry, violent, irrational, and just basically agitated. It's the same thing that had a court in Los Angeles rule people innocent in the crowd beating of Reginald Denny during the riots in Los Angeles after the Rodney King trial. It's called the group mentality. People getting caught up in the events and emotions surrounding them, and then joining in on the violence in order to vent their own frustrations. This report, the FBI, violent crime increased in 2001, from CNN. CNN. Science. Little fantasy thing. Murder, rape, and every other violent criminal act except aggravated assault rose last year, the FBI said Monday, in reporting the first year-to-year increase in overall crime in a decade. The number of murders increased for the second straight year, following several years of decline, according to the FBI, which compiles its annual survey from crimes reported by 17,000 law enforcement agencies nationwide. 15,980 murders represented a 2.5% increase over 2000, while forcible rapes were up less than 1%, and robberies rose 3.7%. Aggravated assaults fell by a half percentage point, reaching its lowest level since 1987. The FBI did not include the September 11 deaths at the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and the plane crash in Pennsylvania. These deaths, the FBI said, are different from the day-to-day crimes committed in this country. The report listed the total number of September 11th murder victims reported by law enforcement agencies as 3,047. Of those, 2,823 occurred at the World Trade Center, 184 at the Pentagon, and 40 in Somerset County, Pennsylvania, the FBI reported. The total number of crimes rose 2.1% last year, the first increase from year to year since 1991, the FBI told us. But overall crime is still down 10% compared with 1997, according to the report. At the same time, property crimes have gone up. Property crimes such as burglary, larceny, and arson with no threat of violence rose 2.3% to 10.4 million cases. The total value of stolen property was pegged at $17.1 billion, with motor vehicles and jewelry accounting for the most money. About a third of stolen property was recovered. I don't know if you noticed it, but there was a quick little report on the news a few months back that the Federal Reserve Board basically stated that the economy fared through some of its toughest times due to luck, despite the efforts of the Federal Reserve Board. Now the Fed says they're looking at lowering interest rates again. I keep wondering if they keep lowering them, maybe we can get a rebate sometime instead of making payments. Nonetheless, they say even lowering the interest rates will likely not help the economy. Actually, they called it an economic recovery. I wasn't aware we were having one. Looks more like the Great Depression to me, but I didn't bring this up to talk about interest rates, believe it or not. What interests me is that the FDA is preparing to implement a new program. In this program, if you're the manufacturer of a medical product, you can pay what they call a user fee to cause the government to expedite processing of applications and such in order to get the product on the market. Now let's take a look at this latest Bush deception, okay? Why does Bush support this and the tax cut he has refused to let go of despite obvious negative benefits to America? Despite the deficits we are building? Well, it's actually pretty simple. If you bankrupt the country and reduce government to the point where it does not actually provide services needed to facilitate commerce, and then require direct payment to the government to facilitate processing, before long the small businessman or inventor will be canceled out of competition in the marketplace. They call it free markets. I call it forcing Americans of all kinds to conform to corporate rules of ownership and intellectual properties. Again, under Bush, the individual citizen is sold out to corporate interests. I can't help but remember when I was living in Yosemite a few years back near the small town of Sonora in the gold rush country of Northern California. A very large corporation came in, put in a large department store, and in one stroke, wiped out more than 24 businesses, most of which had been family businesses for decades. You can't say anything was done wrong, but you could certainly make the case that there's something basically wrong there. Just not quite right. And this new processing fee, the user fee, a word used by the IMF to describe services that governments will no longer provide to citizens, has entered our vocabulary and will be used more and more to get you used to the idea. But they won't add taxes, mind you, not that dirty word. They get the tax through a back door called the user fee and do it in a way that reduces fair competition and takes the load off of government. In other countries, the words user fees are associated with health care, education, whatever the IMF says are not essential services that get in the way of the countries paying interest to the IMF and the World Bank on the loans they take out. Now think about that. That's where the United States is heading. And when the FTAA gets enacted in 2005, right after the next election, you might want to notice it will be difficult to turn back the clocks on the undermining and selling of America. We could do a few hours on that one. You should definitely check out the FTAA. That's the Free Trade Areas of the Americas. You won't hear about it on the news. It's great for businesses and investors with large sums of money. It literally enslaves citizens and will greatly reduce the standard of living for Americans as our jobs are filled by people of other nations because they will work for less money. And that's the route our current political leaders are taking us down and down and down. Like the bumper sticker says, regime change begins at home. In entertainment news, just a few birthdays for you. Julia Roberts turns 35 today. Joaquin Phoenix turns 30. Dennis Franz, he turns 58, and you just got to watch The Daily Show for the fun of it. On Comedy Central, Jon Stewart's doing nightly reports about the elections. It's pretty funny. As they say, it's the most important election since the last one. Synchronicity. I'm going to tell you a strange story, and then I'll tell you about a book to prove once and for all that it's not just me. Here's the story. Since I began doing these reports and maintaining the website, my hours vary, but it's not unusual. My hours vary, but it's not unusual for me to stay up till 4 or 5 a.m. and get up around 11 or noon, get some food and coffee, and then go right to work. Of course, I would immediately turn on the TV to begin to catch up on the news. What if I told you for about 3 weeks, regardless of when I would go to bed, the phone would ring and no one would be on the line every day at 9:54 a.m.? Really, 9:54 a.m. So I'd get up, since I was awake anyway, and by the time I got coffee and turned on the TV, the same commercial would be playing every day. And by the time I got coffee and did all of that, the commercial would come on and it would be for the New York Stock Exchange. And it would say the same thing every day. Every morning, work begins with the sound of a bell. Since I can't think of a single reason why CNN would call to tell me to watch TV so I could see that ad, I sent emails to some people I know in media who might know something about when the ads were running, because I thought, well, you know, they were playing a joke on me. But still, no one takes claim for it. If it happened only once or a few times, you know, I just would have dismissed it. But this went on and on, day in, day out. Kind of spooky. A rather complicated alarm clock. Well, today I was looking at information about book companies and literary agents when I happened upon Hyperion Books. Little did I know it was associated with AOL Time Warner. Another bit of synchronicity I can't seem to shake. Maybe they really do own everything I'm interested in. Who knows? But they had this book on the site called Sync, The Emerging Science of Spontaneous Order. It's by Stephen Strogatz, and he says synchrony is science in its infancy, and Strogatz is a pioneer in this new frontier in which mathematicians and physicists attempt to pinpoint just how spontaneous order emerges from chaos. They do know about my life. Well, it's not quite the same as what I've been experiencing, but it's close. And I'll bet I could supply that author with a great deal of new data. I think I'll leave it at that for now. That's a wrap. This is Charles, DemocraticFundamentalism.org. See you soon.